Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
All right, let's get this show on the road. Welcome back to PGIM Money Buddy, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company for a short little while before CEO PGIM India Mutual Fund Ajith Menon takes over with his words of wisdom, unique insights, and very tangible action tips that you can take from in your own investment journeys. Now, to set the context for today's episode, I want to recall what we did speak about on a previous episode on the series, right? Which is the importance of a financial advisor. Now, I think that episode was pretty convincing because Ajith did make a very good case for why someone who knows what they're doing when it comes to wealth management, building your wealth, assets, etc., is a very important person and is not a role that should be taken lightly. Now, today's episode is taking that a step further. Once you find that financial advisor, that one person who's going to help you build your wealth and, you know, enrich your investment journey, how do you make the most of that relationship? It's all about right place, right time, right person. Now, one can find inspiration in the most unseeming of places. And I think that happened for Ajith recently when he became a viral sensation on the internet talking about how, you know, you can actually learn lessons on making the best of your relationship with your financial advisor through the Mahabharat. Mm-hmm. All right, Ajith, over to you.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Money Buddy. And today I really want to talk to you about how to get the best outcome if you're working with an advisor. I know that in podcasts in the past, I've spoken about the importance of having an advisor, but I have met many people who have advisors and don't seem to sort of feel 100% comfortable with dealing with them. Now, I'm going to start with a little bit of a story that I wanted to tell you that actually was very surprising to me. It was a little video that I was talking in a conference which just went viral all over the countryside with friends and relatives sending it back to me saying, hey, we saw this video in our WhatsApp group. And it was just a little video in which I was talking about the different characters of the Mahabharat and you know, what it actually meant, the esoteric meaning of the Mahabharat, so to speak. So just to give you listeners a quick peek into that, let me break that down for you. So we all know the story of the Mahabharat, right? It's such an epic that is close to every Indian's heart. We've heard the Mahabharat and the Ramayana, but sticking to the Mahabharat, when you think about the story and the characters, I remember my grandmother telling me that there's a Mahabharat inside of you. And the story is really telling you something about yourself. And so it was interesting to sort of explore this esoteric meaning of the Mahabharat. And here's how it goes. Think about Dhritarashtra, the blind king, as the character that you know. Well, Dhritarashtra represents your brain. Your brain's essentially blind. It doesn't take its own decisions. It sort of waits for all that it hears, sees, feels, perceives, and then it takes the decision that it has to. Exactly like Dhritarashtra was taking most of his decisions because of listening to his 100 sons, the Kauravas. And the 100 Kauravas are actually representative of all the negative emotions that every human being goes through that influences our brain, our mind. It's actually said that, you know, Duryodhan represents anger and Dushasan jealousy and so on and so forth. So it's all the negative sort of emotions that a human being feels that is represented by the 100 Kauravas. Now, if you want to deal with this and you want to defeat the 100 Kauravas, then you obviously need the 5 Pandavas, right? And every human being, think about it, has just 5 senses. The sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of hearing, and the sense of feeling. The 5 senses, we all know it. That's your 5 Pandavas, they're right there. And if you can sharpen your senses and work, you know, on really building on it, you can defeat any negative thought that comes to your brain. That's the sort of concept that's woven into the story of the Mahabharata. And of course, then, you know, you have other characters. You have Draupadi. Draupadi is purpose. Now, just by sharpening up your five senses, it's not as if you're going to achieve much. You need purpose and you need passion. And Draupadi is representative of that. She keeps the five brothers together with the objective that she's, you know, not going to tie her hair, but with the blood of the Shasan who dragged her into that court and things like that. So there's an objective for the five brothers right there to work towards a common purpose. And yes, purpose and passion is very important. Krishna is the sarathi, is the soul, is the conscience, the constant voice in your head that says, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. And that's very important for you to have because he steers and directs your journey. Of course, in the story of the Mahabharata, the character that has always intrigued me is Karna. Who's Karna? Because, you know, he is the eldest brother, technically, of all the five. Well, Karna, my friends, is ego. Ego that every human being has. And the story of the Mahabharata, in which Karna actually is on the wrong side and gets killed, is just representative of the fact that if you really want to win your internal war, you've got to kill your ego. You've got to suppress the ego, because most of the problems that people have, whether it's in their personal life or professional life, ends up being somebody's ego problem. So that was that little video that went viral, and I hope you enjoyed that little snippet about the esoteric meaning of the Mahabharata. And why have I been talking about the Mahabharata for this episode on how to work with your advisor to get the best outcomes? And that's because I see the sarathi in our lives as just like the financial advisor that many of you might have in your lives. So I'm going to talk about this sarathi, this financial advisor, and how to get the best outcomes working with him or her in your financial journey. Now, in my financial journey, folks, I have had the benefit of having a very good trusted advisor who's helped me with all my goals. I just had my daughter graduate, and when I look back, the fact that I was able to send her abroad for an international education, spend 4 years in the US studying, and now having graduated, I think that I have my sarathi, my financial advisor, to thank for having guided the family and me and our portfolios for those critical financial goals that I have had. Yes, I must have mentioned this before. While I'm the CEO of a mutual fund, I do use an advisor for myself. It's been around 14 or 15 years now, and all of our financial goals are taken care of by my financial advisor. And that helps a lot. And I've spoken about that before, and I'll tell you a few more things about it in this podcast. Well, I don't have to say that this world is a VUCA world, as some people say, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. That was the definition of VUCA, as somebody said. And it's really confusing for all the decisions that we have to take on our portfolios and how we invest in the outcomes that we want for our financial goals. Well, I think that just like people say that you need a doctor that you should know who can protect your health, and that every family should also have a lawyer who can protect your assets, I think having a financial advisor is as critical and important, because the financial advisor protects your lifestyle. Yes, and that's what we all live for and earn for, to have a good lifestyle. So while, just like the doctor, you know, a good doctor that you may know in the family helps you take care of your health, a lawyer who takes care of your assets, a good financial advisor helps take care of your lifestyle by making sure that, you know, you get everything that you want and whatever you need to know, not just what you want to know. These financial advisors will make sure, sitting with you and discussing with you and the family, in terms of what's best for your unique situation, compared to what you hear and read everywhere else. Every house is unique, and that uniqueness is what the financial advisor actually helps work with, so that you get to your outcomes. Now, I've had a lot of people who say, well, I can do this myself, I don't need an advisor. And when I've looked at the qualities of some of these people, and I'm not saying most of them are wrong from that perspective. But what I do sense when I speak with them is that either they all talk as if they've got a crystal ball and they think they know what's coming right ahead. I doubt whether that's really possible. Or otherwise, when I talk to them, I feel that it's as if they're saying that they're special. And what I mean by special is, you know, those people, right? You know, okay, I'm going to hit the lottery, but well, he's going to get cancer. They don't believe anything bad will happen to them at all. And that's pretty strange as well. And so if you are a very special person, or if you have a crystal ball, I don't think that, you know, you really need an advisor. And then, of course, there are people who just think that they just need to make the returns as much as the benchmark did. Well, if you don't have any financial goals, then you're going to be focused on benchmarks. But then, you know, that's not the right way to approach it. It's not just benchmarks that you compare with. What matters is, when do you need your money for the kind of goal that you have, and what's the rate of return that you need for it? I'm hopefully going to cover a little bit on the sequence of return in some other podcast. But suffice it to say for this podcast that where a financial advisor helps you is that if you are pragmatic enough and realistic enough to know that you're not special, that you don't have a crystal ball, and it's not just a benchmark you're concerned about, but your financial goals, then that's where an advisor can play an important role. And to do that, to get that best outcome out of your financial advisor, I do think that the most important thing is for you to realize that it's a 50-50 relationship, right? There is a 50% responsibility on you as well, because a lot of what will happen in that financial journey depends on how you perceive and you take your decisions and you follow the process and discipline that is required for you to meet your goals. So that's a very, very important aspect of it, to treat the relationship with your advisor as a 50-50 relationship. And remember that the responsibility of outcomes is on both sides. This is also because in your investment journey, and just think about this. I mean, if supposing you're starting this investment journey at the age of 25 and you live up to 90, that's a 70-year investment journey that you will probably have with your money. And fund managers don't last that long, and people in the investment industry don't last that long in any career. So you are, and your financial advisor really have this journey for yourself. But in that journey, there's high likelihood that you're going to see maybe 10 or maybe a dozen times when the markets correct by about 15-20% or even more, as we saw during the COVID or during the great financial crisis. It is going to be at those times that you are going to really see the worth of your advisor, because the potential to really destroy wealth is the kind of behavior and decisions that you take during those market corrections. And that's why in the relationship with your advisor, when we think about bringing out the best outcomes, it is important that, you know, one, that you have a trusted advisor, of course, but two, make sure that there is that responsibility that you have to trust the process of the advisor and to stick to your goals and the investment plans that you have. And of course, trust is at the bottom of this all, right? How do you, you know that you can, you know, sort of trust the advisor? Well, that's a pretty fuzzy thing, and I can talk about trust maybe in some other podcast. There are some great studies that talk about how trust is built. But let me tell you this, and you know that many of you will probably be doing your own investments online, direct, and those are all good things. If you have the time and if you have the expertise, you must do that. I would always recommend a good financial advisor, and I trust them. And I think the reason for it that I would tell you is this, that, well, a good trusted financial advisor is occasionally going to say, I don't know. You will have questions about markets and you will have questions about your investments, and it's not as if he or she may have all the answers. When you have your advisor tell you, you know what, I don't know the answer to that, I'm going to find out and I'm going to come back to you next week and tell you, you know, you're working with a good, great advisor. You're going to get great outcomes there. And think about it. If you're going to Google up most of your answers, well, Google never says, I don't know. You're going to get 200,000 answers to any query that you put in. So the difference between a machine and a human being, a financial advisor, a sarathi who can help you, is this aspect that, you know, they know the relationship, and they know that there are times when they may not have an answer, but they can find out what's the right answer for you in that situation. It happens, and those great outcomes happen when you take half the responsibility in that relationship and realize that the way that you behave, the way that you keep the discipline of the process, is what's going to get you to your best outcomes. So I hope you found that useful and a little different from what you might have heard maybe elsewhere. But it has worked for me, and I think that it's best that I tell you things that I've experienced myself, and I see the advantage of it that I can share with all of you. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you in the next podcast.
I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed that episode. A big thank you to Ajit. You know, it's always good to have him back on Money Buddy and to kickstart or resume our episodes, because they really are a fantastic part of the investor awareness initiatives from PGIM India Mutual Fund. That's a wrap on this episode, folks. Another very interesting one awaits you. So make sure that you stay tuned and look out for the next podcast, where we're going to be talking about something that isn't often paid attention to. Bet I've got your attention now. This is Mia Halia signing off. Stay safe, stay happy, and of course, happy investing.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.